Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Welcome back to the NFL Draft Bible On the Clock show. And tonight we're going to be covering the Tennessee Titans. I'm your show host, Bo Marchant, along with Ralph Mancini. We're going to be bringing you a great show this evening. We have Paul Kohoski, the ESPN AFC South blogger. He's going to be joining us as well. Ralph, how you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We got the touch base down in Indianapolis. But before Paul comes on the show, walking away from the combine, what's one guy that kind of stood out to you?
Well, obviously, you know, Julio Jones is the guy that stole the show, in my opinion. I mean, I've always been a big Julio Jones fan. And I think that, you know, a lot of people prior to the combine, I think a lot of people were sleeping on him. Well, you know, guess what? They're not going to be sleeping on him no more. I mean, this guy is just a physical stud. And you watch him, he's not just the type of guy that's going to run a fast 40 and jump high. You watch him on film, and this guy could just drag defenders with him down the field. A very physical receiver, very big receiver. You know, I think this guy looks like a star in the making.
Yeah. Do you think he has enough of what he, I mean, does he just blew the combine away? Do you think he, you know, once these scouts and GMs go back to the film room and start double-checking things, that there's a possibility that he leaps AJ Green as the top receiver taken?
I think, yeah. I think right now, I think it depends on what a team's preference is. But I can easily see a team like, for instance, the Cincinnati Bengals taking Julio Jones over AJ Green. I know AJ Green is the more consistent guy, but the upside that Julio Jones gives you is just through the roof.
Yeah, he was special down there. The things he was doing at the combine were very special. Once again, we're on the clock, Tennessee Titans. Remember, all through the week, you can catch the on-the-clock shows from the NFL Draft Bible covering your favorite NFL team. Tonight, you know the Tennessee Titans. They missed the playoffs. That's the second year in a row that they failed to get back to the promised land. The last time they did it, they were 13-3. They played the home game to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then all of a sudden things kind of went south after that. The season after that didn't start the way they wanted it. But now we're being joined with Paul Kohoski, the ESPN South blogger. He spent about 12 years as well covering the Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans. He worked for the Tennessee down in Nashville. Paul, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm great. I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to join us for the On the Clock Tennessee Titans show. Paul, I'm looking at the Titans. You know, I know they drafted Derek Morgan in the first round. He hurt his knee. What's the prognosis that you're hearing about a guy like Derek Morgan? And where do you think the Tennessee Titans go with that first pick in this year's NFL draft?
He's you know, on schedule to be ready for camp for sure, I think. And he's going to spearhead, you know, what they're doing on the defensive line. Jim Wyatt of the Tennessean talked to Mike Reinfeld, the general manager, at the combine. And one of the few things the Titans have said about how they'll tinker going forward with the new coaching staff is that they're looking to kind of get those defensive ends out of nine technique and bring them to the tackle in a 7 technique, which means beefier guys like Morgan, like William Hayes, are going to be in better shape. And smaller guys like Jason Babin, Dave Ball, and Jacob Ford are not. All three of those guys stand to be free agents, Babin and Ball for sure, Ford in all likelihood. All three of them undersized and effective in stretches, but wore down as the season went on, and then Ball didn't finish the season. And so I think the Titans could very well plug into this great wealth of defensive end talent early and find another guy, thinking that defensively no position could have a bigger effect, by both stopping the run to one side and rushing the passer. Have a trickle-down effect on virtually everyone on a defense that needs a lot of help.
Hey Paul, Ralph Mancini here. So, in other words, you think that they could very well likely go for that defensive end, but what about if there is a premier defensive tackle or a guy that they're really high on? maybe somebody that could plug in there, and you know, maybe they think that he could be the difference maker that Albert Haynesworth once was. Do you see them maybe going for a defensive tackle with that first pick?
Yeah, certainly a need as well, and a place they want to be bigger. Tony Brown just didn't hold up. I don't think it was a great signing given the chronic knee issue. Jason Jones, very effective in there, but not the thickest guy. And so, you know, if one of the top two, Darius or Fairley, ended up at eight, I think he'd be very intriguing. You know, they've hired Tracy Rocker, the defensive line coach from Auburn, so he would certainly give them firsthand account of Fairley. I don't know that either of those guys are going to be there at eight, but if they are, certainly I would say they're of more value because, you know, I saw Mike Mayock said, you know, he had nine defensive ends as first round worthy. I don't know who the third defensive tackle is, but I know there's a gap between those two and the next guy. And so that would certainly be a value spot. And I could very easily see the Titans going there. excuse me. I don't know if there's a linebacker who's eight worthy. You know, I think Von Miller will be gone. He's a guy that could certainly help them. They're really lacking at playmaker, at linebacker. You know, cornerback, if they're in range of one of the first two, it'd be intriguing, but that's not a big, big need, comparatively speaking, for the defense. And you know, then obviously quarterback is their biggest need overall. The question is, you know, if Cam Newton or Blaine Gabbert would be there and if they'd deem them worthy of that spot. For their sake, I'm kind of hoping Cam Newton isn't there and that they don't have to face that decision because I think I don't want to over-compare him to Vince Young, but I think coming off of 5 years of Vince Young, you'd like to go opposite. And there are some qualities in that are similar that would concern me.
Also, Paul, looking at this team overall, I would guess that most of their team needs are on the defensive side of the ball. But also, somewhere down the line during this draft, whether it's in the third, fourth, or fifth round, or even sixth round, I think they're also going to have to keep an eye on the offensive linemen that are available to them. Because, in my opinion, I think, you know, obviously I'm not breaking news here, but, you know, the Titans' best a chance of winning is going to be with Chris Johnson running the ball, and I think you got to do whatever you can to protect him. And last year, you know, I was kind of disappointed a little bit by that guard play. So do you think that down the line they're going to look to fortify that offensive line as well?
Yeah, the interior wasn't good. And, you know, it was a big drop-off from the year before with the 2,000-yard rusher, obviously. Mike Munchak becoming the head coach, I think he thinks that those three guys, Eugene Amano in the middle with Leroy Harris, who will just be going into his second year as a starter but could be unrestricted, and Jake Scott, who seemed to start to drop off. Munchak seems to think that those guys will solve things, which is what you'd expect him to say about guys that were in his room last year. They'll be working with Bruce Matthews, so they've got two Hall of Fame offensive lineman as their head coach and their position coach. But, you know, traditionally the Titans have taken an offensive lineman somewhere in those later rounds, usually not a guy that could step right in or that they need to ask to step right in, but a guy that, given a year to develop under Munchak, could become a player. And we've seen that when they've played their best in Amano and Harris and Stewart, the right tackle. Certainly Michael Roos was a bigger investment as a second-round pick, the left tackle. But I'm with you. I mean, I think they'll add one. I don't know that he's going to be a guy that's going to threaten that starting five, and I think they have great expectations for those guys to return to form.
Once again, you're here on the clock with the Tennessee Titans. We're joined with special guest Paul Kuchowski, the ESPN AFC South blogger, and also Ralph Mancini, and myself, Bo Marchant. Paul, looking at this team, they finished 26th, I believe, in yards allowed. They finished, I think, 27th in yards gained. So they struggled on both ends of the ball. I mean, look, for you, I mean, you cover this team. You know what this team needs. I mean, if you were GM in this team, I mean, what direction would you go early in these first couple rounds of this 2011 draft?
Well, I definitely want some bulk up front. on defense that's going to make things harder on a tough third down, help you get off the field. And then they need, you know, they've had a safety in Vincent Fuller playing nickel for a long time. They went away from him last year because they felt like they had three corners. That's all well and good, but whatever combination they had there, and particularly on the linebackers, they just did not cover tight ends well. They got torched. And the linebackers, you know, all decent players who just didn't do enough. Steven Tulloch, you know, had 160 tackles there in the middle. He didn't have one forced fumble. You would think that happened by accident with that much contact. Will Witherspoon, I think we saw, you know, the downside from the teams that have let him go as opposed to the upside. And Gerald McGrath was suspended the first four games for a violation of the performance-enhancing drug policy. And he didn't show up a heck of a lot. So, you know, the question then is, are a lot of these guys going to be better? You know, are McGrath and Witherspoon going to be better in their second year starting for the team, or are they not good enough? You know, and the same when you're talking about Cenderic Marks, you know, a tackle, the clock's ticking there. You know, you're expecting William Hayes, Derek Morgan to be big. I would do something to help out that front. I think free safety is an issue with Chris Hope, though it's a bad draft to be looking for help in that spot. And but, you know, obviously it's a quarterback league, and they've got to do what they can do at quarterback. First and foremost, they've said they're going to get themselves a veteran, they're going to get themselves a draft pick. And there are a lot of things we're just not going to know about this team until we see who those guys are. I'm a proponent, personally. I don't love the first-round possibilities at quarterback. I do like a lot of the talent that's going to be available for them defensively at eight, and I'd like to see them hold off to the second round for a quarterback. And I think, and I wrote this yesterday, that they could get somebody like Dalton, Kaepernick, Stanzi, or Ponder in the second round and have a chance to develop that guy and turn him into something with Chris Palmer, a quarterback teacher, as the offense coordinator.
Once again, Paul Kurkowski, ESPN, AFC, Clock, Tennessee Titans. All you Tennessee Titans fans listening out there, this is one guy you definitely want to check out his work because he covers his team. He knows his team inside and out. You can always know what's going on with the Titans. Ralph, you got any more questions for our main man from the AFC South?
Yeah, Paul, I had one more here. Well, you know, the one thing that's obvious is they can't fix all these problems in one draft. So you take a look at the key free agents that they currently have, unsigned free agents from Kerry Collins to Chris Sims, Randy Moss, Bo Scaife, Jason Babin, Dave Ball, on and on, Jacob Ford. Which free agents, if there are any, which free agents do you think are essential for this team to re-sign, to bring back? Are out of these names that I just mentioned, and there are quite a few of them, do they really have to bring back any of them, and which ones are the essential names?
Yeah, it's not a list that makes you do cartwheels. You know, I like Babin a lot, and I think he was incredibly productive for them last year, obviously. His line coach that helped him get there, Jim Washburn, is gone. I think he'd be worth having back anyway, but I think he's probably getting an offer that's better elsewhere, maybe from Philadelphia. You know, I don't think the draft class is going to fix it entirely. I do think you have a couple guys that could step in. Maybe a Rennie Curran, given a chance at linebacker, would have a chance. And he could help you. Quarterback, you know, I just think Kerry Collins was very much a Jeff Fisher, Mike Heimerdinger guy. And that, you know, while the Titans may have a veteran of that, roughly the same caliber as their starter at the beginning of the year, I think they'd prefer it be somebody else. And then what I think they need is an influx of outsiders, like they got several years ago when they were rebuilding. You'll remember they got Chris Hope, David Thornton, and Kevin Mawai all at one time. That transformed a locker room that had some young talent but lacked leadership and didn't really know how to handle itself. And this team needs that, no matter how well it does in the draft. Those guys aren't going to be in position to lead. They underestimated what they lost last year when Vandenbosch and Bullock and Mawai and Algie Crumpler all left or were let go.
And so I'd look for them to shop for good players that not everybody's heard of, that are, you know, maybe at the end of their initial contract and can make some noise for them and maybe are just short of peaking. Guys like Hope, who really took ownership of the defensive backfield but has gotten old, Thornton, who's broken down now, and Mawai, who's obviously out of the league after they decided to go younger last year. They need, as you said, it's more than they can do in the draft, and they need more leadership qualities than they can get in the draft for the 2011 team. So I'm hopeful, and with a bigger free agent class, likely if it goes back to 4 years for free agency, that they can find guys like that.
Excellent. And, Paul, one question before we let you go. I mean, looking at this quarterback situation, I mean, Collins and Young, you know, they're not going to be back. You have a guy like Rusty Smith that's already in-house. Do you think the team kind of rolls the dice with him and obviously maybe take a quarterback in the second, third round, even first round if a guy they like is there? But do they kind of stick with Smith, or do you see them going and getting out another established veteran to kind of challenge him as they build through camp?
Yeah, sorry about my background noise there. No, Smith will be around, but he's going to be the third. You know, and it'd be very, very optimistic of them to give him anything more. Their intention is to find a veteran. I think they'd be willing to trade for him if it's the right veteran, and to bring in a draft pick. So, you know, ideally the veteran would be the starter on opening day. The draft pick would have some time to develop. And Rusty Smith would have time to develop, you know, as a lower-ranking project. He was a fifth or sixth rounder. You don't find a lot of top-flight quarterbacks in the fifth or sixth round. If they turn him, you know, if they have him and a first or second rounder together, you know, and they both get good, well, there are worse things than having multiple good quarterbacks. They're finding out the other side of that now, where they don't have any good ones.
Excellent. Paul Kraharski, the ESPN South blogger, joining us here on the clock, Tennessee Titans. Paul, tell the folks real quick, how exactly can they find your work and where they go to get it?
Well, easiest place is just from the main page at ESPN.com's NFL page, and the bloggers are right down the middle there. You'll see division by division headers, and when you click on one, My Ugly Mug, will come up when you click on the right one. That's the quickest and fastest way. If you want to be real old-fashioned about it, ESPN.com/NFL/AFC South.
Excellent. Well, Paul, hey, thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate you coming on and look this up space in the future.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
That is Paul Kraharski, the AFC South blogger, talking a little Tennessee Titans football with me, Bomar Sean, and Ralph Mancini on the on-the-clock NFL Draft Bible. Tennessee Titans breaking down the NFL draft. It's quickly approaching. A lot of news going on. Ralph, I thought we got some great insight by Paul. I thought he gave a lot of detailed answers into what not only does he think the Titans should do, but, you know, I thought he kind of, you know, it makes sense. You know, they do need some defensive help. They were lackluster on that defensive side of the ball. And, I mean, I thought one of the key things he said is he wouldn't be surprised if they went out and signed a veteran quarterback as the price is right. And that kind of makes me think, do you think they would go after a guy like Carson Palmer? Because, you know, he's vowing not to return to Cincinnati. What do you think the odds of him maybe going to a team like Tennessee?
Well, I think the odds are pretty good. I mean, you know, look, either way, whether they go after Carson Palmer or somebody else, they're going to have to go after some type of veteran out there. And, you know, there are going to be a few guys out there. You know, maybe they'll go after somebody like an Alex Smith or maybe like a Carson Palmer. You know, none of these names really get you excited, but they're going to need somebody, a stopgap type of player, you know, that's going to be able to carry them for a year or two. And, you know, the one thing that I find interesting here, and listening to Paul talk, and he definitely has his finger on the pulse of this team. We've had him on before, and he's been fantastic. But the one thing that I'm wondering about, he said that he would definitely go with a defensive lineman in the first round and then maybe look to take a quarterback in the second round. But that might not be so easy. You know, if they're looking for example, a Christian Ponder with their second-round pick, is that guy going to be available to them? You know, what I'm thinking here is they might have to take a chance and maybe trade up, maybe back into the first round in order to get that quarterback they're looking for, you know, because – you know, let's face it, there are a lot of teams out there that need quarterbacks. So, you know, I don't know where the Titans stand, but they might have to take some chances here in order to get that quarterback they're looking for, because if they really like Christian Ponder or even a Colin Kaepernick, well, guess what? There are a lot of other teams that like those guys too. And while you might say that, hey, well, Ricky Stanzi will still be there, is he really a second-round pick? I mean, I don't know about that. To me, he's more of a mid-round type of pick. And to me, he's not the type of guy that's going to get the fan base excited. And I think, you know, that's one of the key things that the Titans are going to have to do. You know, they're going to have to, you know, give the fans some reason to hope for, you know, for a better day that's going to be around the corner. You know, if you bring in a Ricky Stanzi, I'm like, what is Ricky Stanzi? What is an Andy Dalton? Are these guys starting quarterbacks, you know? So in my opinion, I think they might have to gamble and maybe trade up to get that quarterback that they want. Now, if they get a Colin Kaepernick, you know, there's a guy that's got some upside, you know? So I know personally, if I were a fan of the Tennessee Titans, I'd be a lot more excited over a guy like Colin Kaepernick over a guy like Ricky Stanzi.
You know, Rev, you bring up a great point with all those quarterbacks, because this is an odd class because there's no clear-cut number one. There isn't a particular guy all the teams are clamoring over. I think everyone, you know, you might be a Ryan Mallett guy. This team might be a Christian Ponder. These guys like, you know, these guys like an Andy Dalton, a Ricky Stanzi, but all these guys are kind of thrown into this mix. And it's such a decision-based, there's no clear-cut guy. It's really a very personal decision on, hey, who do you like, who do we like, and which guy we're going to select. And I think that does make it hard on draft day, because with the field so wide open, you really don't know, hey, does Ralph want Mallett, or does Ralph want Stanzi, or is he going to take Colin Kaepernick? You don't know. So I think that kind of pushes that panic button, and I think it's a great point. You might see the Tennessee Titans have to move back up, back into the first round, or you know, and or even higher in the second round, just to snag that quarterback if they decide to go quarterback in that second round. You know, and this is a proud franchise. I was looking at some numbers. You know, at 24 of the last 17 years, Ralph, I thought this was kind of amazing. They finished 8-8 or better. They had nine seasons with at least 10 wins. So, I mean, these fans are used to success. They've been around it. Fisher and the other coaches have done a nice job. And now I think they're going to hit a little bit of a dry spell. They've had two non-playoff seasons, new quarterback. Who knows who they're going to bring in? And if they bring in a young guy and they don't really bring an established veteran in, you got to assume that there's going to be a couple more periods of growth pains as this team matures. And then, you know, all the turnover at the other positions trying to restock. You know, I thought another point he made was that secondary, you know, talking about bringing some influx. I mean, when do you think the Titans hit that? I mean, is that going to be a late round type deal, or do you think there's any chance a third or fourth round pick is used on that secondary, Ralph?
Well, you know, as he mentioned, and correctly so, you know, one of their big deficiencies is over at the safety position. And last year, you know, between Chris Hope and Michael Griffin, you know, both of those guys were subpar. Chris Hope had a lot of trouble covering tight ends, you know, whereas Griffin, you know, toward the end of the season, they let him play a little bit more in the box. And, you know, he got fooled a lot of times on play action passes as well. So I think it's imperative that they bring in one or maybe even two bodies at that position. But, you know, as Paul said, you know, in those early rounds, you know, is that guy really there? Is that difference maker really there that could step in and, you know, and be a starter or even compete for a starting job? I mean, I think they're going to have to take one either way. You know, if it's not in the first or second round, they're going to have to take one at some point because Chris Hope is just one of those guys that he's gotten a little bit long in the tooth. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, this team hasn't been able to do in the past few years. They haven't been able to restock. and to replace, you know, those guys, those players have been, you know, stalwarts, contributors for all these years and have gotten old. You know, another guy that they haven't replaced is Keith Bullock over at the linebacker position. They can use more linebackers as well. So I think, to answer your question, I think they definitely have to go after one or maybe even two safeties because, I mean, last year their secondary play was just abysmal at some points. I mean, you take a look at, you know, what some tight ends did against them last year. You know, it wasn't only guys like, you know, Jason Witten and Antonio Gates that had big games against them, but even Chris Cooley, Anthony Fasano, and even Kevin Boss put up yards against them. So, yeah, I think that's a big concern, that safety position.
Yeah, and, you know, Ralph, I mean, we cover the draft every year, so we're familiar with most of these guys that come into the draft. You know, looking at the guy that was really high on it, you know, was a guy like Randy Curran. And then the year before, the guy Joe McGrath, and he talked about both of those guys. You know, two linebackers, I was really high on McGrath coming out, and then he did. He was suspended for four games, and that kind of threw a loophole into the season. And, you know, Randy Curran, the Georgia linebacker, you know, a productive small linebacker kind of in that Sam Mills mold. I was excited to see him get going. It seems like some of these, I mean, Jared Cook, I mean, remember how positive Jared Cook was during the training camp? He hurts his ankle in a preseason game in Cleveland, and it seems like he never recovers from that. I mean, for you, has there been any disappointments that you can think of, like the top of your head, you know, in the last few Titans drafts that you thought these guys might really, you know, make a push? And granted, I mean, you know, Randy Curran is only going into his second year, so it's not like he's a bust by any means, but I thought he'd be a little bit more productive as a rookie. But for you, Ralph, anybody stand out in that type of, you know, is there one guy that you're like, man, this guy really didn't
I think they came up short at the wide receiver position over the past few years. I mean, they spend a third-round pick on a guy like Paul Williams, who just never really developed. Another guy, Chris Davis, who again, wasn't the playmaker that they hoped he could be. And then Lavelle Hawkins, the kid out of California, who used to play with DeSean Jackson, and he's not even in his class. He's not even in his galaxy. So I think, they didn't do a good job of evaluating the wide receivers in the past few drafts. You know, they also had some misses with defensive backs, a guy like Calvin Lowry. So I think they did hit a home run with Kenny Britt. So they do have some weapons to work with on offense, obviously, with Chris Johnson and with Kenny Britt and Jared Cook, who I think he's a player. You know, I think this is a kid. He showed some signs, but obviously it's time for him to step up and be a key factor in that offense. In my opinion, you know, I'm looking at that defense right now, and they could use bodies at just about every position. And, you know, the other thing to look at here is that not only do they have a new head coach, but they have new assistant coaches down the line. I mean, they have a new offensive coordinator with Chris Palmer. They have a new defensive coordinator with Jerry Gray. And on that defense, they're going to make some changes in terms of their scheme, as Paul alluded to. So they're going to be going from a straight 4-3 to where they're going to be playing a sort of a hybrid 4-3/3-4 type of scheme, type of system there. And so, you know, because of that, they're going to have to go and look for different types of players than they have. You know, not just looking for bigger, stouter defensive linemen, but, you know, they're going to have to also look for more athleticism at the linebacker position. You know, they're going to need, for instance, outside linebackers that are more athletic. They need playmakers on this team. And so, I think all these changes that they've made in terms of their scheme and in terms of their coaches, I think, you know, that's going to have a big effect on, you know, the types of players they bring in.
Excellent. Once again, Reverend Ralph Mancini, Beaumarchant, here on the NFL Draft Bible on the Clock Tennessee Titans Show. Remember, all throughout the week at 6:30 here on Block Talk Radio, you can listen to the On the Clock shows where we're going team by team, breaking all the draft news down, all the stuff you need to know about your favorite NFL team or even your most hated NFL team. Find out what the enemy's doing and see what angle they're going to go. We're going to always have a nice list of show guests coming on team insiders, guys that cover this team. They're the beat writers. They're around these guys day in, day out. They know what's going on. They see them every weekend. They follow them on the road. So when you want some insight, make sure you come here 6:30 on the clock, and you can check out each NFL team. And if you don't catch it tonight, go to the NFL Draft Bible. There you can catch the podcast. You can podcast it. You can download it. You can listen to it as you want. But remember, 6:30 on the clock shows here at the NFL Draft Bible. Ralph, you know, you brought up a great point, too. You know, the offensive coordinator, Chris Palmer, I was reading a little bit of stuff. You know, he's been in, you know, he's worked with Eli Manning. He's worked with Mark Brunell, Tony Romo. I know he kind of flopped when he arrived in Cleveland, but I think that was a bigger situation for almost any new coach. I mean, they are sitting there, with the eighth pick? I think they got the eighth pick of the draft. Do you think there's a chance they, you know, maybe if a Blaine Gabbert is close enough that they move up even in the first round instead of worrying about all the defensive stuff, if that's a QB they're desiring, you know, why not take a shot, move up, and get the guy you want?
Well, yeah, if they think that Blaine Gabbert could be that franchise quarterback, I think they should absolutely trade up. I mean, right now, I mean, if the season were to start today, their starting quarterback would probably be Rusty Smith. So, yeah, I mean, they don't have nothing at that position at this point. So, I mean, if they really believe that Blaine Gabbert could be that difference maker, that franchise quarterback, then I think they should absolutely trade up to get him. But they should do it for the right reason. They shouldn't do it just to, you know, satisfy the fans and just, you know, tell the fan base, hey, you know, you wanted a quarterback? Well, here's your quarterback. No, they have to do it because they really think and they, you know, they really have faith in that player. So, you know, I mean, it's a possibility, but I think they're going to, I think they might have to gamble, you know, to trade up either way, whether it's in the second round or the first round to get the man that they really want.
Excellent. Once again, hey, Ralph, I'm thinking, I think we got a few minutes left in this Tennessee Titans show. I always like ending this stuff. Why don't you give me the guy that you're taking with the number 8 pick, and then I'll give my guy what they're taking with the number 8 pick, and then we'll wrap this puppy up.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, the guy that I'm taking with the number 8 pick, and I'm assuming that he's going to be there, is going to be Blaine Gabbert. I think that, you know, this is the type of quarterback that gives you a lot of size. He gives you arm strength, and he seems to have a very good head on his shoulders. He's a very intelligent guy. And, you know, the thing is that he does come from a spread offense, but, you know, so did a lot of quarterbacks come from spread offenses. He looks like the type of guy that can adapt to the pro game, and I would have no hesitation in taking him with that 8th pick. And if they have to trade up for him, I would do that as well.
Nice. And is Blaine Gabbert your number 1 QB overall, Ralph?
At this point, yes. I would have to say that. I mean, obviously his pro day is going to have a little bit of an effect on things. I mean, if he bombs, you know, obviously that's going to hurt his draft stock. But right now, based on what I've seen on film, based on his interviews, based on what I've seen, you know, with him on the chalkboard, you know, in terms of him recognizing plays and all that, to me, I think he is the most NFL-ready quarterback, and he is the guy that has the biggest potential out of all these guys coming out.
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert definitely is a gifted athlete at the quarterback position. Ralph, I agree with you. I would look for Blaine Gabbert, but since you took him off my draft board and I can't have him, I think I'm going to go with a guy like J.J. Watt out of Wisconsin. I think if they're looking for D-line help, I think he might be right around that range. You know, obviously, I think they would prefer Nick Fairley if he's there, which could be a possibility if those early rounds are tricky. But I think a guy like Watt could be around for them if they want to influx on that defensive side and pump some youth off with the absence of Kyle VandenBosch and other guys who have departed through free agency. But I think both those picks could both help them up front, Gabbert or Watt. And like I said, that's the best part of talking NFL draft. We could probably do an on-the-clock show for the Tennessee Titans like 3 weeks from now, and we'd both be given different guys. We'd be going like a cornerback or wide receiver or something crazy. That's what's so fun about this. Ralph Mancini joining us here on the clock. It's the NFL Draft Bible. Ralph, as always, I love doing the show with you, and I think we're going to be busting another one out next week. Thanks for coming on, and like I said, next week we'll be breaking down On the Clock once again.
All right, great. It's always a lot of fun.
definitely a lot of fun, my man. That is Ralph Mancini. I'm Beau Marchant. This was On the Clock, Tennessee Titans. Remember, if you go to the NFL Draft Bible, there you can check the podcast of On the Clock, Tennessee Titans. And not only can you check out the Titans, but you can check out all the other podcasts from all the other On the Clock teams. There, www.nfldraftbible.com. And remember, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock every Thursday, you can check out the Draft Digest show hosted by Dan Bourguignon. They're breaking down the NFL draft. A lot to talk about, folks, because the NFL Combine was this past weekend, so that buzz is in full effect. The Combine is like the springtime of the NFL. You just smell the flowers. Everything's starting to bloom. The bees are buzzing. The birds are singing. It's draft time. It's the best time of the year because everybody's on even ground. I'm your host, Beau Marchant, along with Ralph Mancini. Thanks so much. We know there's a lot of other outlets you can listen to. We appreciate you taking the time and listening to the NFL Draft Bible On the Clock shows tonight, the Tennessee Titans.